many is glad to be in this place today? I don't know about you, but I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. I do have something from the Lord for you tonight. And it's something that I'm sure that everybody's heard before. But that's the great thing about the Word of God is it never wears out. Just something that you might have heard before, it can give you just the push that you need to get on through your week. I'm not going to start out with Scripture. I'm going to start a little bit different tonight. So before you're seated, let's just go before the Lord in prayer and ask Him for a move in this message. Dear Lord, we come before You, God. We magnify You, Lord, and we thank You, Jesus. Lord, for all that You've done in our lives, Jesus, we thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your grace, Almighty God. Lord, we ask that You pour out Your Spirit, O God, in this place tonight. Lord, that we leave not the same way that we came in, O God, but with something different about us. Lord, help me to communicate clearly and effectively just what You've given me to preach to this people. God, we thank You and we love You. We magnify You, Jesus. In Your mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. So when you begin to look through Scripture, you see this common theme. This theme is something that plays out throughout all of Scripture, and really, this is why we have the Word of God. We can find the issue of all of humanity. Just in the first book of the Bible, we can see the fall of man. Just the first book of the Bible, we can see this issue that will be a stumbling block to the rest of humanity. In the beginning, God created heavens and earth, and He created man, and man was in the perfect spot just to fellowship and to commune with God. And we know the story of Adam and Eve and how they were in the garden, and God gave them reign over everything, and He just gave them one boundary not to push. There was one tree in the entire garden that He told them not to eat of. And if they did, He said, you'll surely die. See, and just in the first book of the Bible, we can find this fall of man. And the boundary that God puts in place, the only boundary is the one that man breaks. And this would cause a separation between God and man that could no longer be repaired. The separation, see, man can no longer be holy because of this sin, because of what had happened. It would create a fallen generation. It would create a fallen humanity. And we can read all throughout the Old Testament of the battles up and down, of people struggling with sin. And we can read this and we anticipate a solution. We look for a situation. We look for a way to fix what had happened so long ago. You see, but this communion with God and man was broken, and sin separated God and man. See, everything was perfect right in the beginning of time. Everything was just how God wanted it. And sin comes in, and sin is a very, very unique thing. You see, because sin is something other than you. Sin is something that becomes alive in your life. See, that sin, you can't get it under control in your flesh. Sin is a very, very consuming thing. Once it gets it told on you, you can't get away from it. And because of the fall of man, we're all born into sin and we're all shaping in iniquity. So here we are, the beginning of time. And this problem that's erupted, and the Bible even goes on to talk about how God It repented him to even create man, because he knew that there was a wedge that was driven between him and his creation. The people that he created to worship him was now disconnected, was fallen, was broken. How in the world would man be reunited with God? What could happen or what could take place to reunite man with God? I'm going to do something a little bit different. Josh, if you'll get 1 John chapter 1. We're going to read just what the solution was. How this was fixed. I'm going to start in verse 5. You stand up and read that. Read on to chapter 2. Yep. Go on through 6, all the way through to chapter 2. Stop right there. See, right here, we find the solution to this sin problem. This payment right here, because it says right there in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood, catch that, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Read on. Stop right there. If we say we have no sin because we are born into sin, we deceive our own selves. And if we say we have no sin and we don't even recognize that we have an issue, then there is no hope for us to fix the issue. So your first step is just to acknowledge that you have sin in your life. And because you have sin, you are in need of a Savior. Read on. Stop right there. If we confess our sins, right here scripture tells us if we just confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we just acknowledge that we have an issue, he's faithful. He's faithful to forgive us, and not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Read on. If we say that we have sinned, we make him a liar. The creator of heaven and earth, we make him a liar. If we say we have no sin and his word is not in us, and thank you, you can be seated. In chapter 2, it says, my little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Who does it say it is? It's Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. See, the blood shed at Calvary was the moment in time that all of humanity was looking for. With the blood shed of Jesus, the debt for our sins that we could not pay ourselves was paid. With the stripes at Calvary, with the stripes back on Calvary, with our Savior hanging on the cross, the blood flowing down, paid the debt for our sins. We can now be united with him again in paradise. Why does it have to be this way? Why did God choose blood? Why is it the blood? Why does something have to die in order for something else to live? What's the reasoning behind that? We can find that in Leviticus chapter 11, or chapter 17, in verse 11, it reads like this. It says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat the blood, neither shall any strangle there sojourn among you eat blood. So the blood is the life that's in the flesh. Without the blood, none of us would be here. Without the blood, just your blood flowing through your veins, you could not live. See, and God chose the blood for the atonement of sins. And before Jesus came and died on Calvary, there was atonements that had to be made every so often just to keep God's people in alignment with him. In his good graces, there had to be a lamb go to the slaughter. There had to be blood sprinkled on the altar. See, but when Jesus came, there came a sacrifice that was so great and so precious, so perfect, that after the blood was shed, there is no need for another sacrifice. A blood so powerful that it cleanses the whole world of their sins. A blood that we cannot forget. God forbid that we forget the blood. God forbid we forget what happened back on Calvary. God forbid. Oh, it's nothing but the blood. That's why we sing songs about it. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's nothing else that could save us but the blood of Jesus. If it was not for Calvary, we could not live. The blood that was shed was so precious, so perfect. We hang on to that, and everybody recognizes how important the blood is. Everybody recognizes how important the cross is. We make little memorials all over the place with just the cross, just the picture of the cross, so that we can remember what happened back on Calvary. We have all these images of the cross just to remember what happened at the cross. And there's not many things that a trip to the cross can't fix. I just read it to you. If you confess your sins, he's faithful to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter if you've lived and you were born and raised in the church and you fell one day, because if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just, and he'll forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter the sin, how great or how small, but the blood of Jesus cleanses it all. We're washed white as snow with the blood of Jesus. And we cannot forget his sacrifice back on Calvary. We cannot forget what he done so long ago. Before the beginning of time, God had a plan. He had a plan in place. He wanted a people that would worship him. He created man. Man falls. Breaks God's heart. The Bible says that it repented him to create man. He knew that man would struggle for the rest of his days. But there was a plan in place. He come down, and God come down in flesh incarnate. And he decided that if I'm gonna request something out of man, I'm gonna have to be there with them. He goes down and robes himself in flesh, and the crazy part about it, the amazing part about it, is God came down in flesh and was tempted just like we are in every single point in his life, just like we're tempted. See, there's nothing that God doesn't know what you're going through, because he's been tempted just like you are. So because he came down as a man and he lived the perfect life without sin, he was the only one that didn't have to pay for his own sins. See, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, he came down and lived a perfect life, and because of that, he didn't have to pay for his sins. So he could pay for the rest of humanity's sins with his blood. The only one that was not deserving to die did just that. Lived his life as a sacrifice. He went to Calvary. And he had a will just like me and just like you. He had a will that he didn't want to go to Calvary because he was a man. But because he was God, he loved you and I so much that he was willing to pay for our sins with his blood. We can never forget what happened back on Calvary. We can never forget the significance of the blood of Jesus. God forbid that we forget. God forbid that we just look over what happened back on Calvary. But I come to submit to you tonight that even though something so great happened on Calvary, there was another part. Everybody loves the moment of the cross, the mercy, the grace, the love that Jesus showed for all of humanity with the image of the cross, but there's another part. See, what we take a look at the church, we take a look at the disciples that Jesus created. In his apostolics, we kind of make this portion of Scripture our foundational building block. And in Acts 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. It says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, when Jesus left, we can read in the Gospels of when Jesus left, and he's telling his disciples, well, actually, we'll just go right there. John 14, he tells his disciples, he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. It says, red letters, this is Jesus speaking. He's telling his disciples right before crucifixion, he's telling them, I won't leave you. There's coming another. It's another person. No, it's not another person. No, it's the Spirit of God. He's prophesying the Spirit of God's going to come. And I will not leave you comfortless. It says, but ye know him. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, ye know him. I'm standing right here. Ye know him. It says, for he dwelleth with you. I'm talking to you right now. You know him. Jesus was telling us that it was him, the Holy Spirit that would come, the Holy Ghost, however you choose to refer to it, the Holy Ghost is going to come. But when Jesus is talking about it, you have to pay attention on how he's talking about it. He says, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The word shall means it will happen. It will come to pass. And he shall be in you. And then he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And if we jump down to verse 26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in whose name? My name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So when you receive the Holy Ghost, you just listen to me. You're going to remember all the talks that we had. You're going to remember all the things that I showed you. Peter, you're going to remember when you walked on the water with me. You're going to remember. You're going to remember the miraculous healings. When the Holy Ghost comes, you're going to remember what I've done. You're going to remember my time with you. But he's coming in Jesus' name. We go back to Acts. The day of Pentecost is when this prophecy comes to pass. We read it. So the Spirit of God comes in as a rushing mighty wind. We've read that. It sits on all the people that are there in one mind and one accord. And begin to speak with other tongues as the Holy Ghost falls. And how do we know that this is, how do we know this is what was prophesied about? It says, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven." So there were people there from every nation speaking different languages. They were all there. They all were witnessing what was happening. It says, "Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak." So every man that's from a different nation, every man that speaks a different language, says, "Because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to another, Behold, are not all of these men, all these which speak Galilean?" So the Holy Ghost comes and they begin to speak in tongues. And how do they know? Because these men that did not speak Galilean, they heard them in their own language, glorifying God. And you can read right here, I'm not even going to get into those names because I'm going to mess them all up if I do. But there's men from everywhere. Everywhere, and they all heard them in their own tongue. And we can read about this prophecy. If you go to Joel. Joel chapter 2. Verse 28, it says, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants, upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and the pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come." So we read it. So this is happening, something that's never happened before. All these men are speaking in tongues and there's people speculating that they're drunk. Well, maybe they're just drunk. Maybe they just had too much to drink and they're just acting crazy. But Peter says he says, "For these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it is but just the third hour of the day," which means that's about 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. Says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." See that prophecy, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men. And all my servants and all my handmaids I'll pour out in those days. Scripture goes on to tell us that these men were pricked in their hearts. What shall we do? And us Pentecostals, we really like this verse here. This next little snippet that Peter tells them. He says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So this promise is given to us. The Holy Ghost, the Comforter. See, the Comforter's with us right now. When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you have the Comforter that Jesus was talking about. So long ago, the Comforter is here. See, that Spirit that raised Jesus, that's the same Spirit that you have dwelling on the inside of you if you've received the gift of the Holy Ghost. We cannot forget what happened on the day of Pentecost when God poured out His Spirit unto all humanity. When we bind together and we just begin to magnify His name, we surrender our will, the Comforter can come. The Holy Ghost can be poured out. I wish I had some people that believed that in here today. I wish I had some people that believed that. See, the day of Pentecost. See, the cross. The cross is good and the cross is essential. But without the day of Pentecost, you're incomplete. Do you understand that the Holy Ghost is a part of salvation? You need it to go to heaven. Do you understand that if you do not have the Holy Ghost, you cannot go to heaven? Except a man be born of water and of spirit. You cannot even see the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. Wish I had some people that believed that today. I'll preach by myself if I have to. We have to have the day of Pentecost. Because without the day of Pentecost, the cross is void. Do you understand that? The cross. What was the cross for? It was for the remission, the forgiveness of our sins. But if we can't even make heaven our home, what was the cross for? If we can't complete the process, what was the cross for? Don't let the cross go in vain. You need the day of Pentecost. You need the experience. You need the Holy Ghost. You need baptism in Jesus' name. You need to repent of your sins. You need God. The cross was the payment. The blood was the payment. But the Pentecost, that's the rest of the problem. That's the rest of the process. Without Pentecost, you're still in the same spot. You can ask for forgiveness all you want to, but until you kill the old man and you live a Spirit-led life, you will get nowhere. Until you come in and you experience Pentecost, you cannot be any better than where you started. With the blood of Jesus, it paid for our sins. But if you don't act on it, He can't do anything for you. He sends another Comforter. How selfish is it to not even partake in that? We have to have the day of Pentecost. It's a part of getting to heaven. Do not make the cross void. What Jesus did so long ago, don't make it void. You need the day of Pentecost. Stand with me. I just asked the music not to come. We're just going to bind together. We're going to do it a little bit different tonight. We're going to bind together. Everybody understand what the plan of salvation is? plan of salvation, you have to repent of your sins. Be truly sorry. Truly recognize that you are a sinner and you are in need of a Savior. Recognize that you need Jesus. You need His blood. You have to repent. That's the first part of it. Second part, baptism in Jesus' name. To wash away your sins in Jesus' name. Not any other, Jesus' name. We have to invoke the name of Jesus on our life because we're humanity. Scripture tells us that there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What name is that? That's Jesus' name. Third part, then ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now we can bind together right now. All minds clear. We can bind together and we can have the same exact experience as the day of Pentecost. That same Spirit that was poured out can be poured out in this place right now. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to bind together in prayer tonight. All minds clear, no music, no distractions. And if you want the gift of the Holy Ghost, you can receive it tonight. Tonight. You could walk out of this place with the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's essential for heaven, by the way. So let's just lift up our hands. Just begin to pray. If you want the gift of the Holy Ghost, believe Him for it. Repent. Magnify Him. Oh God, we come before You, Jesus. We thank You, Almighty God. Lord, we need You, Jesus. Lord, don't let us let the cross go in vain. Lord, pour out Your Spirit, oh God, in this place. Come into this house, oh God, and rest on us. Lord, we believe You for it. We come to You with expectation in our hearts, oh mighty God. Lord, we come to You believing You for the promise that You've given us so long ago. God, we need You. We magnify You. Lord, we love You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, we need You. Lord, we need You, Almighty God. Church, believe Him for it. Believe Him for it. Just magnify Him. Tell Him how good He is. Oh, God, we need You, Jesus. Lord, we love You. We exalt You. We magnify You. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Have Your way in our lives. Have Your way in our lives, Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Alabaco sandia la Marisia. Sagita alabaco sandia la Marisia. Oh God, we magnify You, Jesus. Lord, we love You, Almighty God. Jesus, we need You. God, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. Jesus, we need You. Lord, we love You. Oh, You paid it all. You paid it all for us so long ago back on Calvary. Your blood washes us white as snow. Don't let it go in vain. God, we need You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we magnify You, Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. Somebody's holding back. Somebody's holding back. Get rid of all the distractions around you and just begin to call on His name. Oh, come on, let's just bind together right now.
out your spirit, oh God. Pour out your spirit, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Alamakos, Sankita la Marisia, Sankita la Bocos, Sandiola. Marisa, Niela Bocos, Niela Bocos, Sankita la Bocos, Sandiola.